there's anything else that folks want to talk about. I one thing I did want to touch on is that at the end or not in the end, the middle of the last meeting we had, the state legislator came up and talked to Kristen and I about potentially having someone from the commission represent an upcoming task force that he was going to be suggesting in regards to historic districts, I think, in the state. And we haven't heard anything more formal from him, but I think that the legislature will, in all likelihood, be taking this up again in the near future. Maybe not in this next session, but in the session after that, the main session. I guess this is kind of a short one. But anyway, I just wanted to toss it out there to think, if folks are interested, how do we want to, provide a recommendation there? I know that in the past, staff has provided that support. And obviously, if we were to be formally asked by the legislature, we'd have to go through what's the office called again? Legislative
Government relations.
Government Relations Office, and then also probably have that approved by City Council. Correct.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I don't know if, yeah, were you at that last meeting or
I
no?
was not. I
You were
was
not.
not.
So what was the name of the state legislator again? I can't.
Denver.
Yes.
Denver.
Yeah. So he came up after he did the presentation, and he asked us if we wanted to potentially serve on a task force that he was thinking of developing in regards to historic districts. And we had said we would be interested, but obviously we can't commit to anything until we've gone through the proper circles.
Okay, so I can forward the email that you sent or rephrase the question,
It
that pertain.
wasn't any formal email.
Right.
It was
No,
just
he
he just
approached us after,
right.
his
No,
item.
you sent me an
Oh.
email about it.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I
Or yes. Yeah. I haven't had a chance
don't
to address it yet, so I'm glad you brought it up. But
Okay.
I can move that up the chain and see what the process would be for
Okay.
something like that. And it sounds like it's a little down the road.
I have a
Right?
feeling it is.
Okay.
It's not going to come up during the next, what is it called, an interim session? Or they have a brief thing where they take up kind of the more significant issues, but then they have kind of the regular legislative session. And from what Brandon had told me, and then what the legislator, Mr. Dembrow, said, was that it would probably come up at that next
The
session.
full session for
Yeah, the full.
2019. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, and so that's why I think it's important for us to kind of just let's go through this
Sure.
the sausage maker and see what comes out at the other end. So
And does he have your contact information?
what's that?
Does he have your contact information?
I didn't give him a card or
Okay.
anything, so
If he does send you any emails about that, forward them to me.
sure. Okay. So anything else from folks?
I was curious. I heard OPB did a think out loud on, I can't remember the title, but it was in essence the death of Chinatown or the extinction of Chinatown. Did anybody actually hear that? Or
No,
did you?
I was
Anyway,
planning to look it up
I
on the
missed it,
website.
so I was just
I missed
curious.
it
No, I had heard an article, I think it was in the Portland Tribune, talking about, I guess, the recent city council hearing. I think it was the hearing anyway, but they were basically saying that Mayor Wheeler was supporting the larger heights, Billing Heights in Chinatown. So I don't know if that was a part of that discussion or.
Well, I think that article that you're talking about was quoted by one of the testifiers, and specifically the comment I think that was made by Mayor Wheeler, which he clarified at the hearing, was something along the lines of central city, there should be density in the central city versus Irvington. And so if there's going to be heights, it should be in the central city, not, and he specifically said Irvington. And the testifier took exception to that because the quote in the paper was about how there are no neighborhoods in Central City, and that's why the heights are okay. And versus in other places.
Right.
So the testifier, of course, you know, commented that that person was a resident of the South.
Which, by the way, Central City extends across the river. And
it includes Irvington, by the way. And it's weird because it doesn't include ABC District, for instance.
Yeah, we never talk about that. So yeah,
it's very
frustrating
weird
to me.
No, it's extremely strange. But anyway, so I think that was the comment about the heights.
Okay.
And he clarified that he didn't necessarily mean, you know, that there were no neighbor. He would, you know, was perhaps taken out of context, and that what he really meant was that, in general, his belief is that density should be in the central city versus outside, because we all chose to live in an urban growth boundary and blah, blah, blah. So.
Okay. There you have it. The only other thing is I got an email from Ian Johnson today about the Eastmoreland nomination. Apparently, they finally received some legal support from the Department of Justice, so they'll be developing a process for counting votes at some point. We'll be, I guess, watching that process move forward probably in the upcoming weeks. So
it's on hold until they come up with that process?
So basically there was an error in the original nomination where the state refused to count the objections based upon the fact they couldn't come to an agreement with the Park Service as to who a property owner is, even though they've been doing historic district nominations even while they were trying to figure that out. So
50 years prior.
For however many years. I mean, as recently as, I mean, the last big ones that they did, like at, yeah, like Oak Hills and Buckman, I mean, they had over 600, 700 properties, and all of a sudden there were ownership issues that they couldn't resolve. And they didn't say how many, they didn't say what the nature of those complications were, only that they existed. And so the Park Service provided guidance to them 3 months later. And now 2 months after that, they've finally gotten some feedback from the Department of Justice. So I have no idea what kind of process they're gonna come back with. It has to be somewhat consistent with the Code of Federal Regulations. And don't ask me, how this is all going to shake out, because I'm highly curious myself. So it'll have implications for Laurelhurst and for any historic districts in the future. So,
I mean, I don't know the facts of this, but weren't there allegations that people were forming LLCs and putting their properties in there?
Matthew, I can't hear you.
Stay on the mic.
Never mind.
There weren't allegations. I think they did happen. Yeah, there were property owners who subdivided the interest in their property to get more votes or objections. So
Has anybody been tracking, since all this has happened? I mean, I know this is the DOJ who weighed in, but in support of the Parks Department. But in light of all the funding issues and whatnot going on the federal level, do we know what impact? I mean, I know that the historic tax credit was saved, right? But was there anything else that on the federal level that's going to impact us in terms of our national?
The SHPO's are usually funded by the Historic Preservation Grant, and every state SHPO gets money from the feds to implement the various programs, whether it's 106 compliance or the National Register Program or certified local government. And I mean, I think all that money is, you know, all these different. All the money that comes out of the feds are in different pots, so I don't know exactly how that impacts the Historic Preservation Grant Fund when government shuts down. But I mean,
oh no, I meant in general in terms of future districts, because of if there's a lack of funding if the SHPOs get it from the feds and the feds are.
They have to implement the National Register Program regardless of what they receive.
Okay.
So. Oh, I mean, if they don't get any federal money, then to be honest, I don't think they should be doing the National Register Program, because it's, I mean, they are given that money to implement a federal program, basically.
Right.
So mm-hmm. So if they don't get money to do it, then, I mean, the state would probably be like, well, we can't we can't
approve anymore.
Right.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah. But I mean, I haven't heard anything like the HPF is on the chopping block or anything like that. So.
Just as an aside, do other states run, are you aware of other states that run their own sort of national register programs that are more of a statewide acknowledgement so that you,
you know, they
independent of the
on the state register?
Yeah. I'm just curious.
They do. I mean, a lot of times what happens is back in like the 70s, I think, or even maybe 80s too, there was a real fear that the national register program would just go away. And so a lot of states implemented their own state register program. And a lot of times those programs are linked to, like in California, it's linked to the California Environmental Quality Act. Like those properties actually receive just as much protection as a National Register property within that state environmental process. But in Oregon does not have one. There's been sometimes discussion about it, but they're not, even if it were to exist, I don't think it would, there's nothing in place that would afford it any other additional protections beyond what's in Gold 5 or something.
I only thought of it because I was traveling last weekend and I passed a couple of heritage trees. They're state heritage trees. So they have a program for acknowledging historic trees.
Oh, yeah.
The state level.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep. A lot of states do that.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think that's it. Meeting adjourned.
Thanks.
Oh, anyhow. Okay.
I was just curious about seventh commissioner and what the status of that is.
I have two interviews scheduled for next Monday. I'm waiting to hear from commissioners Minor and Ranzetta as to their availability for the third interview.
I'm sorry. Is that on the same? Do you have the three options that same day?
No, I sent a special email.
Okay.
On Thursday.
Okay, I'll take a look.
Are you looking?
It may have been Wednesday.
Okay.
Ouch. A warm body, somebody who is vocal, and is the right fit right now.
Okay. Yeah, and I mean, technically, they can, if there's, you have someone in mind, you can ask them to submit still to the Office of Neighborhood Involvement.
So. I brought up Art DeMuro earlier, and I just having a little bit, maybe a little bit more of a developer's mindset. I'm just throwing that out there that I think, you know, he brought a lot of value to this commission because of that experience. So
yep.
I don't think there's a, you know, there's a specific chair that has to be filled by a development professional, right?
In fact, actually, it limits the number of people in that profession.
That can be in construction.
And I'm not right. Pushing for one or not. I'm just, yeah. I just, when I, anytime I'm on a board or, you know, you're looking at, well, what are the skills we're missing?
Right.
And identifying people that can help us with those skills. And so we don't actually evaluate ourselves what skills we're missing. I'm just throwing it out there. So.
We've reached out to folks like that before, and at the time they were busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get someone good, so.
Yep. No, we're, and I mean, if anyone has any other ideas about the qualities of a potential candidate, definitely let us know. And I mean, it could help us with recruiting and also with, you know, questions to ask people, so. Okay. All right, thank you very much.